Common sense is not so common. And in an era where global uncertainty is rampant and government is out of control, this is the show making sense of all the madness. Broadcasting live from the Arizona desert, you can't dodge the Hodge. Here's your host, Dave Hodges.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We have another exciting show for you, really exciting. We have L.A. Marzulli with us, and we're going to be talking about recent disclosure, UFOs. What is it that they're really trying to tell us? And we're going to get into all of that here on the Common Sense Show, the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we are brought to you by a couple of people that pay our bills, but you need to pay attention. Do you think the dollar is going to be around long? I don't. It's going off as the world reserve currency, and it's how many trillions of dollars in debt? No, it's not going to last that much longer when we go away from the world reserve currency. No petrodollar, no dollar. So where's your money? Well, okay, you need to get into precious metals if you're already not. I recommend doing what we do. We have a few months of operating capital, and we've taken the rest and put it into alternatives. Gold, silver, Bitcoin, IRA backed by gold, not certificate, the real thing. And ladies and gentlemen, if you do that, you're going to come out smelling like a rose. Noble Gold can help you with all that. I want you to give them a call because, take it from me, I'm not just an advertiser. I am a customer of Noble Gold. And they are the most professional, low-pressure people I know, and I could not be happier. 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Tell them Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show told you to call. The other issue that I'm concerned about for humanity, food. When I learned that Bill Gates was the largest owner of farmland in America, I freaked. This man, his middle name should be depopulation. Everything he touches turns to absolute you-know-what. And when he's involved in something, Katie bar the door. And then you got Biden's capital gains tax, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be impossible for farmers today to pass along their farms to the second generation. Why? Because the capital gains tax is not forgiving. It counts all the capital equipment in the value that they have to pay. So let's say you have $45 million worth of capital equipment, which isn't a lot for a big farm. Maybe you're only clearing $100,000. How are you going to pay the 45% tax on the $45 million? Let's just say you have $4 million in capital. There you go. And when you let all these people get a hold of the farmland, and I'm talking just a few corporations, the Federal Reserve will be picking up the notes on the mortgages, the banks, and of course, Bill Gates. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. We're already seeing food inflation. You're going to see hyper food inflation, and then you're going to see scarcity. And then you're going to see the left wing of this country, the ones controlled by the CCP, the ones who are dedicated to the takedown of the Constitution, they will use food as a weapon for compliance. That's why you need to buy our storable food. Restaurant quality, 25-year shelf life, 20% off the 4-week package. And you go, Dave, I need more than 4 weeks. I agree. You probably need 2 years in seeds. But you can buy it 4-week increments, and you'll save that 20%. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. And listen, folks, I get offers to advertise every single day. We turn down 90% of them. Noble Gold and MPS, preparewithdave.com, we've had these sponsors for years. I'm customers of both of them. Our family is. Please, please, please don't put this off. I mean this sincerely. My mission here on the Common Sense Show is to bring people to Jesus, because he's your best protection in what's coming. But additionally, folks, God helps those who help themselves. Please take what I'm saying seriously. Well, we've had L.A. Marzulli on before, and Steve Quayle had me cover the Branson Conference where he spoke. It was fantastic. And and I just said, with all the alien disclosure going on, the Pentagon, they used to call UFO sightings swamp gas. Now they're saying it's technology we can use. And I'm going, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. They fall on their heads on the way to the five-sided building? What is going on here? L.A., I'm glad you're here because you're one of the foremost experts on this topic, and I couldn't wait to get you on to get your take on what's really happening.
Well, it's great to be here, Dave. Thanks for having me on again. Always good.
Our pleasure.
We are basically on the sixth rung of the disclosure ladder, and people need to understand that some of us have been flapping our arms desperately trying to warm a church of something which I coined way back in the 90s, the coming great deception. Jesus warns us men will faint from fear from what is coming upon the earth. It will be like the days of Noah when he returns. So those scriptures are very telling. Paul adds to that, Satan comes with all signs and lying wonders. So for the last 15 years, you've had the History Channel every Friday night. Now they've moved it to Saturday. Ancient Aliens, I was on the first two seasons of that. And they are promulgating the idea that we've been visited by extraterrestrials, people from other worlds, and that they were responsible for the technology and many of the artifacts that we find and the sites that we find from Sacsayhuaman to Göbekli Tepe to Gilgal-Rephaim, all these different sites. But I have a different spin on it, and I've maintained that, which is why I never went back to Ancient Aliens after the second season, because I was being heavily censored and my words were being twisted. And from that, that was the nexus of the Watchers series with the late Richard Shaw, my business partner, and we created 10 films in there. But I've written, like Steve Quayle, I've written a lot of books on this. I've been into it since I was about 16. Eric von Daniken's books came out, and I was a student of von Daniken, and I was not a Christian at the time. Raised Catholic, left the church, and I became a Christian at the ripe old age of 30. That's now 40 years ago. So I've been doing this forever, looking at it, and calling this the coming great deception. So that's sort of a quick backstory, a thumbnail sketch. When we move to 2017, I'm watching Tucker Carlson, and I presented this information. You mentioned the 2019 whichever it was, the UFO conference that we did when we were all it wasn't a pre-record. We were live at Branson, and it was, for me, it was a real high mark because it was UFO, and he had some great people speaking, and it was a really good conference. But 2017, I'm sitting in front of the TV watching Tucker Carlson. And at the end of the show, it's got about 5 minutes left, he starts off, UFOs used to be the things of tinfoil hats and conspiracy theorists, but maybe we shouldn't think that anymore. And then he goes from there, Commander David Ferrier was a former F-18 pilot who had an encounter with a tic-tac-shaped UFO. He's here to tell us about it. Commander Fravor, thanks for coming on the record. Well, I'm on the edge of my seat at this point. So it's Tucker. It's a triptych. Tucker on the left, Fravor in the center. And on the right, they've got film of the declassified tic-tac-shaped UFO, which at one time was classified. And, you know, the interview goes on, and it's sort of a very softball interview. And Tucker Carlson asked him towards the end, in your opinion, what do you think this was? Fravor, Commander David Fravor, looks right at the camera and says, whatever this was not of this earth. That's what he said, was not of this earth. Now, that's the first rung on the disclosure ladder. We don't know how many rungs that there are before we get full-blown disclosure. But that was it. That served as the nexus for the book UFO Disclosure, the 70-year-old cover-up. And, you know, any student in media would have to ask themselves immediately, wait a minute. This guy, David Fravor, doesn't have a book, doesn't have a DVD. He's essentially a nobody. What I mean by that, I don't mean that in a pejorative sense. I just mean that, you know, he's got no media footprint. He doesn't do anything. Doesn't have a podcast or nothing. Doesn't have a blog, not doing anything. So who calls Tucker's producer and goes, hey, we'd like to get Commander David Fravor on next Friday? Who does that? Who's got the power to do that? Who's got the power to show which at one time was classified footage on Tucker Carlson? And the reason why it's Tucker Carlson, it's the most conservative show, and most of the audience is made up of conservative Christians. So they throw this up on the flagpole, as it were, to see the reaction, flatline. There is no reaction. I'm jumping up and down. I can't even believe what I'm seeing. That's the first rung. Since then, there have been constant disclosure being rolled out deliberately. It's a managed agenda, as the late Chuck Messer would say. The second row is Luis Elizondo, once again on Tucker Carlson's show. And Tucker said, well, in your opinion, Does the United States government has in its possession wreckage from crashed UFOs? And he hems and haws and says, well, you know, I take my NDA, non-disclosure agreement, very seriously. But the short answer is yes. Well, with all due respect, Mr. Elizondo, this, the audience is being set up. You're making it sound like you're tipping your hand. First of all, you know what an NDA is, and you, the correct answer is I cannot confirm or deny that, Mr. Carlson. Let's move on. That's what you would say. But he said yes, and Tucker recircled the wagons and asked them again, and Elizondo confirmed that. Yes, the United States government has in their possession wreckage from crashed UFOs. The reaction, again, flatline. The church, dead. Not even thinking about it. Gary Stearman and I are jumping up and down. We can't believe what we're looking at. The third rung is when Chris Mellon comes back on, CNN, also Tucker Carlson and other media outlets, and they've tested the metal from the crashed UFO, and lo and behold, there are isotopes in that metal not found on this Earth. Again, the reaction, totally flatlined. However, at this point in time, more and more people are starting to wake up. Not a lot, but a few. People are going like, ALA, did you see this? My inbox is now getting flooded anytime there's something happening on Tucker Carlson. The fourth rung of the ladder is, of the disclosure ladder, is the United States Pentagon admits that UAPs are real, unidentified aerial phenomena. Notice that they don't call them unidentified flying objects, UFO, because that had bad negative connotations. They've been poo-pooing that forever. And making anyone, I mean, theirs was the entire disinformation campaign to discredit anyone who would even think about believing in UFOs. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, you know, proudly wear your tinfoil hat. But that's the Pentagon. So the fifth rung on the disclosure ladder, the United States government, this all happens like sometimes it's 4 to 6 weeks, sometimes it's very quickly, sometimes it's longer, it's sporadic. So the fifth rung is when the United States government declares in all media that the United States government has in its possession vehicles not made on this earth, off-world vehicles not made on this earth. Now that's, you would think that everybody would go, whoa, 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 wait a minute, not the case. There are a few people that are looking at it. I'm obviously Steve Quayle is. I know you are. We are over here. Gary Stearman is. Tom Horn is. There's a few of us. The Watchmen are looking at it. We can't believe what we're seeing. Nevertheless, it's like in your face. It's in your face. So for the government to say something like that validates Bob Lazar in the 90s when Lazar talked about the sports model at legendary Papoose Lake, Area 51, the Groom Lake testing ground. So number six on the ladder, the rung on the disclosure ladder, is David Faber returns and states on the record that when he closed in on the tic-tac-shaped object, it jammed his radar. Now, he didn't say that the first time. The second show, which is, you know, a couple years later, he stated, yeah, it jammed my radar. That's an act of war. That is an act of war. There's no doubt about that. That's what it is. So, you know, we're moving into the seventh rung of the disclosure ladder with all the sightings that we're seeing. I actually, on my daily program, Dave, I showed up footage from San Bernardino that happened fairly recently, and we're still trying to figure out what it is we're looking at. It appears to be the real thing. The people who were shooting it on their cell phone, they're freaked out. So this is going somewhere. It's mounting. It's being revealed. It's deliberate. And this is the coming great deception, in my opinion.
It is. I'm going to repeat a story I've been telling, and I've kept it quiet for 9 years because I was afraid people would think I was crazy. But in the present environment, maybe they'll think I'm only half crazy. But before I tell you the story, I don't know if you're familiar with my father's background. I had to keep it secret until my mom passed in 2011 because she was getting his two pensions. One was from the Navy, and he was early retired after he and his best friend and admiral were in charge of putting nukes on the first ship in the Navy. That would have been the Carrier Roosevelt. And they retired him about a year after that, early, with full benefits, sent him to Denver, where he worked at Martin Marietta, now called Martin Lockheed. And he worked with captured German scientists. They reverse engineered the theoretical physics of these scientists. And I've come out with this now since, you know, my mom passed. I haven't come out with everything because I've been told there's some things I should never say if I want to see the next morning. But he told me in 1984, 1985, when he was terminal, you can talk to people in this kind of situation. Like, I became friends with Vance Davis, who was friends with Sergeant, you know, Robert O'Dean, the senior master sergeant of NATO, who popularized the idea there were two dozen types of entities that were visiting us. And, I took him into my confidence. I became friends with Jim Mars, and Jim was actually flown in to meet me covertly. And we became really good friends after that. And I interviewed him a lot, but not too much on the ET issue because, you know, my mom was still alive and kicking. But to bring it forward, when I was a child, I had a knowingness. And I had nothing to base on it. I'm talking when I was 6, 8, 10 years old. I had no idea what my dad did. He worked on rockets. That's what he told us. when Betty and Barney Hill happened, I was just a child. I actually cut out the article from the paper and hid it underneath an electronic football game I had. And I kept it for years and years and years because I just knew it was true and I didn't know how I knew. So cycle forward now. I do geopolitics, Ellie. I don't do too much on this topic, but I'm going to have to really take another look. 9 years ago was my last year of coaching college basketball. And I was out to happy hour with a bunch of friends who were coaches. And I went to the restroom. I come out, and this really attractive lady goes, "Hello, Dave." And I thought, oh, don't know her. Yeah, can I help you? I'm sorry, I don't remember who you are. Oh, you don't know me, but we know who you are. This is a story that I avoided telling until recently because of the recent wave of stuff. And I said, I'm really kind of confused. She goes, "Well, Dave, soon we know you're going to have a website." I hadn't even planned the launch of a website at that point. I had a radio show, and I didn't do this topic. And she said, "And you're going to be one of the ones to bring forward full disclosure." I said, "Full disclosure of what?" She goes, "Who we are, where we're from, and what we want." And so that's interesting. I've never had music accompany. So anyway, I went back to my table, freaked out after about a 5-10 minute conversation. I looked back and she was gone. Gone. And my friends are razzing me. I'm married. I'm in my 50s. She was probably 30. Right. And I just laughed it off and wasn't about to tell them what was said. But she made it real clear that she was an ET in some form. And I was perfectly sober.
That's what I figured. Yeah.
Yeah, she made it very clear to me, Ellie, that what she was. And I was just freaked out. I thought, how does she know? We had contemplated a website. I'm thinking, how did she know? Now, about 60 days later, I went ahead and did it. But I still didn't go down the ET path because it's something I really had to be careful who I confided in. I've always had this kind of like sidewalk interest in it. Annie DeRiso, I don't know if you know Annie, but she hosts a lot of UFO conferences. She was my news director for 6.5 years. Okay. And we had all these conversations off air, and she bugged me and bugged me to have more people on the topic on my show. But I didn't do it because I was really worried about the credibility. Now I regret not doing it, LA, and this is why, you know, you're one of the most respected people in this field, and everything you have said gets validated by friends of mine in the media like Steve who watch what you do, and I'm so glad to have you on with this, but I'm telling you, I can feel it in my bones. There's something there, but I have a fundamental question for you. The people that I've been interviewing on this topic of recent, they kind of are divided into two camps. One is the Genesis 6 crowd that says these are Satan's demons and this is a great deception and they're pretending to be aliens from different dimensions and different civilizations and planets, but really they're all from the same source. They serve Satan. And the other is, well, it pretty much is, as it seems to be, aliens from different planets and sources and dimensions. Where do you come down on this argument?
Well, I've been saying from the get-go, I spoke... let me answer that by asking a question rhetorically. I was at the UFO conference last January, the only conference before COVID hit, and we were up in Big Bear Mountain in California. And it was basically a UFO, hardcore UFO people. And I looked at them and I said, okay, let me ask you guys a question. I want you to show of hands. How many of you think it's okay to abduct a five-year-old, implant them, perform perverse sexual experiments on the five-year-old, and then return him?
Ella, you're cutting out just a little bit.
I paused for effect and I said, I'm sorry. Oh, well.
Yeah, can you back up about 20 seconds here? I can hear you just fine now.
Yeah. Okay, great. So I was at this conference and I asked the audience rhetorically, but I wanted a show of hands. And I said, look, how many of you think it's okay that to abduct a five-year-old boy against their parents' wishes, to implant that child, to perform sadistic sexual experimentation on him, and then return him, you know, 10, 12 hours later or whatever? How many of you think that's okay? Give me a show of hands. Not one hand went up. And I paused a little bit, and then I said, you've answered your own question, whether these entities are malevolent or benevolent. I mean, you just told, you know, here it is. Someone stood up and pulled the covers off of it, and you know, the crafts look pretty.
We're losing you again.
Dark on the way to this thing. And when you get, oh, boy.
Okay, I can hear you now.
Let me.
I don't know if it's the way you're orienting, but it lasts about 10 seconds, and then you kind of kick back in.
What I could do is I could try switching to another server on the Internet. Want me to try to do that?
Well, let's go, and if it happens again for any prolonged time, I'll say yes. But
Okay.
All right. But I'm sorry, go ahead and continue.
I apologize for this. It's,
no problem. No, listen, it happens.
Yeah, if we had known the Internet sucked like this, we wouldn't have bought the house. But the bottom line is people instinctively, human beings instinctively know that it's not okay to take a five-year-old boy and implant them. And the reason why I used a five-year-old boy in the implant story, when I started talking about implants now 22 years ago, I was laughed at by my Christian brothers and sisters. But I held, you know, I held my ground. And our Watcher series with the late Richard Shaw, we had a guy who was at that time 45 when we put the implant out. But he was the boy I was talking about. He was a child that was abducted when he was five. And he was implanted against anything that his parents had to do. His parents were never, let me take your son for a little bit. Never, obviously that didn't happen. So, and there's all sorts of strange stuff. That's a 3-hour conversation. We don't have that time, just around Bill, not his real name. But we took that implant out, and we're really one of the few teams that actually have it on film. Some of that was stolen and became a film which you can watch on Netflix, but that's when you see it, you can actually hear my voice, but we're never given any credit. But that was our money. That was Richard Shaw and myself and the late Dr. Roger Lehr in the operating theater. And we did an entire plethora of tests that the protocol that Dr. Lehr had set up to make sure that this was a real implant. We, all the science was there. We tested the implant. It had meteor metal not found in this earth. And on it went. So I am firmly entrenched in the camp that, first of all, this is nefarious and it's highly malevolent. And Jesus warns us in the prophetic literature that it will be like the days of Noah when he returns. Now, remember, when Jesus is saying this, there is no New Testament. And he's kind of making up the New Testament as he goes along. But when he says this, there is no New Testament. Out of the entire Tanakh, the Old Testament, why does he point to that? What's so special about the days of Noah? And this is why it's imperative for someone to understand the Genesis 3:15 narrative. Because unless we understand what's going on in Genesis 3:15, when we get to Genesis 6, where we hear about the Nephilim, or the Tower of Babel, shortly thereafter, or the five kings with Abraham, or, you know, moving on to Sodom and Gomorrah, and finally the conquest of Canaan, we don't know what's going on. Arrive at Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13, addresses talking about the end of the age, and Jesus says it'll be like the days of Noah. We're all clueless. We have no idea what he's talking about. Genesis 3:15 tells us, and I believe it's the pre-incarnate Christ, Adam and Eve just blew it. They decided to with the dragons, Adam and Eve are there, and Jesus says to the serpent, the dragon, he goes, your seed, your offspring will be at enmity at war with the offspring of seed of the woman. The coming one, the Messiah, he will crush your head, you will bruise his heel. Well, that sets up the rest of the narrative. The rest of the entire Bible is based on that one phrase, because it's a seed war, Gary Stearman. It's a seed war between the seed, the offspring of a serpent, and the seed, the offspring of the woman.
Oh, my.
So what differentiates the days of Noah is that that seed is all over the place. There are hybrids walking amongst us. And, of course, that's the title of Dr. David Jacobs' book, probably the last one he'll ever pen, but Walking Amongst Us, talking about this hybrid race. Bill was taken. He was implanted. We got it on film. We took the implant. My Christian brothers and sisters were no longer laughing. People, I was ridiculed. And now it's 2021, and disclosure is happening almost weekly. There's an incident. Something is going on. We actually showed a clip that happened in San Bernardino, as I mentioned a little earlier. So I believe, and let me back up, that when I'm giving lectures like I did at the 2018 or 19 conference, which, thank you, Steve, for inviting me. It was a really well put on conference.
It was awesome.
Very well attended, upwards of 3,000 people. Yeah, it was just incredible. And when I'm at the conference, I walk out, and my first slide, is, other than the introduction, is a slide of the Hubble telescope of the universe. And I'll show two or three of those, and I'll go, if we are intellectually honest, we have no idea what this is or where we are in it. And I pause, and then I say, what I mean by that, if the United States of America is analogous to the universe, or the universe is analogous to the United States of America, planet Earth in Detroit, Houston, L.A., Tampa, we have no idea. We have no idea where we are or what this is. None. Zippo. And then we can read the biblical narrative. Oh, this is just allegory. Right? That God, the God of the Bible, will roll up the heavens like a scroll. Now, I'm a literalist, and I believe that's literal. I believe we're in a holographic universe. I believe that these entities that are coming here are interdimensional. Jacques Vallée also still does believe, maybe he's changed, I don't know. But for the most part, he believes that they are interdimensional, not extraterrestrial. J. Allen Hynek also believed that they were interdimensional, not extraterrestrial. So we don't know what and with mating with us. They are obsessed with creating some sort of a hybrid entity. That's what we're looking at. That's what's going on here. So with all that in mind, this, look, when they come, let's just cut to the chase. When they come, they will say that E.T., they created all life on this planet. In other words, mm-hmm. They are our progenitors. They created all life on this earth. They also were responsible for manipulating early man's DNA to the present Homo sapien. They also created the world's earth, the Earth's, and at the same time jump-started the world's religions. Now, at this critical juncture in human history, they've decided to reveal themselves to usher mankind into a golden age. And, oh, by the way, they'll have this little implant that you can take, and it will extend your lifespan 300 to 500 years or whatever, disease-free, and they will also give us the energy which pilots the craft, which will change everything. So just over the weekend, or last weekend, they were saying that it was all over the internet that this technology will change everything. And they're right. Everything will change overnight. I mean, remember when COVID hit, in my opinion, it's like a dry run. This is the beast system. This is the advent of the beast system. It's not the beast system, but it's going to be, this is what the beast system will do. Of the beast system. And the entire world shut down. In the history of the world, we've never seen anything like this, ever. And we all quarantined, and then Dr. Fiasco moved the goalposts, which is another three-hour conversation, which we don't have time for. But the bottom line is, when they show up, that's what it's going to be. It'll be E.T., the world's religions, will just crumble of their own weight, most of them. I believe, and I know this is controversial, but there's a saying I coined a few years ago, we go up, they show up. We go up, they come down. Something is obviously restraining them. Otherwise, they would have shown themselves a long time ago. But something restrains them. There's this cat and mouse game that goes on and continues to go on. It will reveal them. And I believe that's when church is finally taken out. Now, I realize other people don't agree with that, and that's fine. We'll find out. You know, if I'm wrong, then I'll be right next to you, Dave, in the underground bunker going, oh, my gosh, they're here. Because when they do show up, everything will change overnight. Everything will change.
Let me go back to the fallen angel concept where they bred with earth women. This is interesting. We're getting noise interference here on a completely secure line. But anyway, what I want your opinion on, from what you're saying, I think you're telling us that there's a different genetic line on the planet that's descendant of this interbreeding between them and us, our women. And so are you saying there are two different species in competition with each other, and the one species from the fallen angels, so to speak, are seeking to be totally dominant?
Well, the Nephilim, the remains of the Nephilim are still here. I mean, Steve Quell broke that story years ago.
Yes.
With this giant story. Well, we backed up with our Kandahar giant, and then we got our shooter together with his pilot, and we realized 2 different years, 2 different locations, 2 different giants. That was incredible. So they're here. The giants are still here. The Nephilim are still here. How old was the one shot in Kandahar? We have no idea. 1,000 years old? 2,000 years old? 3,000 years old? Because remember, you're dealing with an entity that's a hybrid being.
Back to the message I received from that unknown female posing as a hostess who magically disappeared into thin air. You're going to bring forth full disclosure. You'll be part of the group, the way she expressed it. Is it that they want to be known? Is that the intent? Did I understand that correctly from what I was told?
They want to be worshipped. It's a couple of steps up the ladder.
Okay.
Not
okay.
only
Makes
do they
sense.
they want to be worshipped. That's the end game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I only bow to one entity, and I'm not sure how interdimensional. It's all dimensional, I think, but I bow to one entity, not to this. So this is going to be. Will this be the conflict that's coming? Is this Armageddon?
This will be, I believe that the so-called alien presidents will play a great role in the 7-year tribulation. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. These are the signs and wonders that we will see. This is men fading from fear from what is coming upon the earth. This is Jesus saying that even the elect would be deceived if that were possible. This is Jesus saying because they did not, or Paul saying because they did not believe the truth, God sends them strong delusion. Well, what is the truth? The truth and he is before all things and he holds all things together. That, you know, by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and he holds all things together. Now, we can believe that, or we can say, well, that's just a bunch of Christian mythos. That can't possibly be real. How can this guy just, you know, make everything like that? Well, the one scripture where it says he holds all things together. Go jump to Revelation 19, and the rider on the white horse, which, of course, is Jesus. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. Well, people have speculated what that sharp sword is. I think it hails back to the Colossians chapter that I just read. When he shows up on that plane in Armageddon, Lord of the Rings, we're not chopping heads off with a bunch of orcs and all this stuff. He just simply, in my opinion, this is conjecture, he just undoes them. He ceases to hold
So I'm sorry you just cut out on that, but if I understood you correctly, you basically said they just ceased to exist.
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. That makes...
He stops holding them together.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And you just... And you wonder, too, if that's not the ultimate condemnation to hell. It's just non-existence.
There it is.
Yeah, that's what I've wondered, too. But the hybrid thing is very interesting to me. And I want to put a little geopolitical twist in this. And I know some of this will be hypothetical. But we have people now running this country. I should say running this country into the ground, working against everything that makes any sense for the welfare of the country. And we have people supporting them to their own detriment. And you have the CCP, who basically seems to be in charge here as the New World Policeman. And you look at Biden, the Biden crime family, Pelosi, and her allegiance to the cartels, which are controlled by Communist China. Do you think there's an awareness among this leadership I'm mentioning, the visible leaders that we see, not the ones behind the scenes, do you think they know who they're ultimately serving?
I think the people at the top do. Just like Adolf Hitler knew who it was that he served. I mean, he was no dummy. You know, he knew where the power was coming from. And, you know, he's certainly a type of Antichrist. I think a select few know the end game. They are picked. They are molded. There's no doubt. I mean, it makes sense. I was on the Hagman show a couple of weeks back, and Doug was talking about, you know, we need to do something. And that's when I felt, and this was a spirit-led thing. And I said, well, you know, I'm sort of a student of the Civil War. I mean, not a real serious one. Some of these guys are like, you know, deep. But I know enough about it to know that the bloodshed was something that we never want to repeat. That some of the things and the atrocities are like the charges, like Pickett's charge and the slaughter and the concentration camps that were set up were just unspeakable horrors that happened to the people in the Civil War. So we don't want to start that. But what we can do, and this is where the Holy Spirit, I felt, led me. Lech Walesa in Poland basically brought the former Soviet Union to its knees. Solidarity. The entire nation of Poland was under the thumb of the Soviet Union. People just said, we're not doing this anymore. You can't kill us all, but we're not doing this anymore. And enough people turned out, millions and millions and millions, where they basically, the Soviet Union surrendered. And that was the beginning of the fall of communist Russia. That was the beginning of it. And that's what we need to do in this country. 80 million people voted for our president, and it was stolen from him. There's no doubt in my mind that this election, the fraud is through the flipping roof.
Yeah.
Sidney Powell stated over the weekend that she's going to bring something. Sidney, you know, what are you waiting for? You got to bring it soon, because they're already taking the country apart. So what the 80 million people that voted for Trump, I mean, look at CPAC over the weekend. We love you. I mean, there's never been a political figure like this who had the will of the people. It was stolen from him. They stole it. And the fact that the goofy Supremes and the Supreme Court won't even look at it as the dissenting opinion Clarence Thomas stated last week, the American people deserve better for this. As Mark Levin shouted on his program, they're spineless people, and they are. They're doing a disservice to the American people. So why all these yahoos go, yeah, 2022, 2024, no, you don't understand. There will be no 2022. There will be no 2024. We have to go back on November 3rd, 2020 and get that right first and make sure that the real votes were counted, but they weren't. We all know it was stolen. So that's what needs to happen first. But on the other hand, some of this may be tying into the whole end time scenario. Where, look, Satan wants a new world order. Satan wants a global agenda. What stands in his way? United States of America. That's what stands in his way. I mean, Europe will fold like a Boy Scout fire, campfire on a rainy day. I mean, it's over. Europe will just collapse. There's nothing there. They're already bought and sold in so many ways. I mean, you can go around globally. You know, India will jump at the chance. The Chinese sometimes, well, they you know, that's basically the new world order. South America is an absolute disaster. That's why they're all trying to come up here. So you got one country, you know, and it's there. And the whole, in my opinion, I mean, we're getting the political thing here, but it's all connected. It's all dovetailed together. But this whole COVID-19 fiasco, where the goalposts are moved continually, and Christy Noem said at CPAC, we never shut down. We never closed businesses. We didn't order a mask mandate. We made out just fine. But Dr. Fiasco, you know, created the collapse of our economy. And all this nonsense is leading to the, what they want to do, and I know you know this, is collapse the United States.
Yes.
That's what's standing in the way of a globalist agenda. So they've got to break the back of the U.S. And the American people, the churches need to wake up. Pastors need to stand up and start and pound in the pulpit, man, because otherwise, in a year or two, if nothing changes, there will be no pulpit to stand in.
Well, that's not going to happen. I go back to my church participation, oh, let's call it 22 years ago, and our church used to organize anti-abortion rallies, completely peaceful,
exactly,
but forceful. You don't even hear pastors mentioning the word abortion and the genocide against babies. Don't even hear it anymore.
Not a word, not a peep. Not a peep. Not a peep. And this is, you know, this is the problem. The church, I mean, I get it. There's grace and mercy. Okay, I totally get grace and mercy. It operates in my life daily. I get that. But there comes a time when God just goes, I'm done. I'm done with this, you know, and I think we're nearing the point, and maybe that's why we are where we are, because we have.
Yeah, I know.
Look, this whole, and I know you know this, you know where it's going with this new bill that they're trying to pass, you know, the Equality Act. It's not equal at all. What it will do is put a muzzle on Christians, Christian businesses, churches, and everything else, and it will legitimize the whole transgender movement. And this is why it's Obama's third term. Out of all the things that they could be working on, what's the bill? What are they jamming down everybody's throat? If the church doesn't stand up now, if we don't stand up now and strike, good luck. I'm telling you, a year from now, you won't recognize this place. You won't. You won't recognize it.
Well, Trump had a good line at CPAC when he stood up and said, "Do you miss me yet?" It's only been a month, and this country is already falling apart at the seams.
It is. It's true. It's alarming, Dave. Really alarming. And you add the supernatural to this, where these entities come down, the coming great deception. You add that to this mix, game over. Game over. And then you're kicking off the tribulation at that point.
This might interest you to know, and I'm going to tell you this quick story and then have you comment on it. I'm very good friends with Vance Davis, and he used to be out on the tour years and years ago. He doesn't do that anymore because he thought discretion was a better part of valor for his family. Vance's former NSA had a direct run-in with George H.W. Bush, and they had to pardon him and his colleagues. He was part of the Gulfbreeze 7. And I sought Vance out when I heard him talk about the secret space program and Art Bell. It was the first time I ever heard Art show. And he had an intermediary contact me. We've been friends for 28 years. Let me tell you what he told me about his training.
Wow.
When he was training in NATO in Europe as part of the NSA, they taught him that the good guys and bad guys had a war in the cosmos, and the bad guys lost and they were cast to Earth, much to our misfortune, and that they tried to take over the soul, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't crack the code, so to speak. So then they wanted to change the human being. Without Vance knowing it at the time, and this was 1993, and he's telling me this. This is 28 years ago. He's describing transhumanism to a T. But the term was not in vogue. And I'd just like to get your reaction to that.
There's a scripture in Revelation that says they basically travel, and it lists a whole bunch of things and spices and all these different goods and men's souls. How do you travel in men's souls, and who does that? Entity into two things, create a hybrid being with us and changing our DNA. There were three people three researchers, Doug Hamp, another gentleman whose name escapes me at the moment, and myself. We all published within a week or two of each other. There was no collusion. I remember talking to Dave Hamp when he mentioned this. I said, how do you know this? Did you steal my work? I mean, who told you about this? And he said the same thing with me. Well, L.A., I'm thinking that maybe somehow you stole my work. And what we realized, the Holy Spirit gave it to three men, all from different backgrounds. And we wrote about this from three different perspectives. And this was hidden from the church for thousands of years. And it has to do with the mark of the beast. We know that anyone who takes the mark winds up on the lake of fire.
Yes.
Well, where's the grace and mercy in that? There is none. There is none. There's no grace and mercy. You take the mark, you wind up in the lake of fire. So Doug Hamp's book, Corrupting the Image, talked about what these entities were going to do to corrupt the image, which would mean you're no longer human, which means you would, you know, wind up in the lake of fire. I came at it from the perspective of the implants that we had firsthand knowledge, not hearsay, firsthand knowledge. We already talked about that, taking out the implant from Bill. And I stated that these are prototypes of the mark of the beast. They will be inserted in your forehead or in your hand. They will change the host's DNA. These implants will change the host's DNA. So you will no longer be human. You'll live the 300 to 500 years, just like the days of Noah, but you will no longer be human. And that's why the severity of a judgment. That's why the judgment is just very clear. You take the mark, you're in the lake of fire. Why? Because you're no longer human. It will change your DNA.
This is what people are saying about the vaccine. It's going to change your DNA.
It will. It's got an RNA factor, which then takes and shoots it over to your DNA, so it manipulates your DNA. There's no way in a million years I'm taking that stupid thing. But is that the mark? No, it's not the mark, but it's getting really close to it.
So you could take the vaccine and you're not condemned to hell. Is that what I'm hearing?
I would, yeah, but I'm still not taking anything like that. That's not the mark. First of all, you take it in your shoulder. You know, it's not like an implant. It's not this mark on the forehead or the hand. That's a whole different deal. But these implants that we handled, that's what I think that they are. They'll couch it as a DNA upgrade. That's how they'll couch it.
That's kind of what I'm getting to. That's what people I talk to who are afraid to speak out after what happened to the frontline doctors, but they're just as qualified.
Yeah.
And privately, they'll tell you exactly what you just told me. And they also tell me it's tracking, too, because there's a frequency modulation to it. And then they can turn off illnesses, turn on illnesses. That's their belief, because it's frequency modulated to certain illnesses with known patterns. And I said, how do you know this? Well, we work on it, but we have proprietary agreements that we can't talk about it. Well, and if we talk about it, they come and get us. And I said, who comes and gets you? The people who enforce DARPA secrecy. That's what I was told. And what you're saying, I've heard before.
Yeah, it's a really dark agenda, Dave.
It's very dark.
It's a Luciferian agenda. That's what it is.
You couldn't say it more accurately. You know, it's interesting you'd say this. I asked my father back in 1985, I said, where did they say the technology came from when you asked them? And he said, oh, they said it came from aliens. And I said, well, how did you respond? And he said, I asked him, did you ever meet any of the aliens? They go, well, no, but our commanding officers and our supervisors did. And my dad walked away concluded. He said, son, he says, I don't know if this is true, but my money is on these are Satan's servants. Mm. And I've never forgotten that. And that's why I think I gravitated to Steve Quayle so early in my broadcast career, because I'd heard these things before. LA, I know that you're out there and people can learn a lot about what you know by following what you do. So tell people how they can follow your good work.
You know, thank you again for having me on the show. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
It's my honor, sir. Very much mine.
Well, you can go to lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net. There's all sorts of information there. If you're interested in streaming any of our films, you can go to streaming, streaming.lamarzulli.net. All the Watchers series there, the On the Trail of a Nephilim series is there, in their own words, which I'm in the process of re-editing, but you can, that's about an hour and a half long. It's my first independent film. It needs to be re-edited. It's just way too long, and I learned a lot since then. I'm 9 films on my own, so and I'm working on number 10. So, you know, streaming.lamarzulli.net. But, you know, the book, UFO Disclosure of a 70-Year-Old Cover-Up, that's on the site, and that talks about everything we're talking about here, except it's more in-depth because it's a book, not an hour show.
Sure. And how can people get that book again?
By going to lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net.
We're living in the most interesting of times. You know, my friend, our friend Steve Quayle, he has a saying, and it fits so much what we've talked about here today. Steve said on my show about 6 months ago, what's coming is no longer coming. It's already here.
Yeah, it's already here.
It's already here, and it truly is. Well, L.A., you know, we're opening up a path that we're going to follow here on the Common Sense Show. We're going to continue to be true to our mission on geopolitics and so forth and preserving our Constitution as much as possible. But we have to do diligence on this. So I want you to feel free when something comes up to feel free to contact me and say, Dave, I've got something I think your audience would be interested in, and we'll have you back on.
Count on it, Dave. It's again, a real pleasure, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you very much, L.A. L.A. Marzulli, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We'll be back after a word from our sponsors. Thanks, L.A.
Thanks, Dave.